Deuteronomy chapter number 33, if you'll turn there, we're going to read the first few verses that introduce the chapter, and then we'll read just one of the blessings contained in this chapter bestowed upon one of the tribes of Israel, beginning in verse number 24. So Deuteronomy chapter 33, we'll read the first three verses, or I'll read them if you'll follow along. Then from chapter, then over to verse 24 and 25. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, Deuteronomy chapter number 33. Listen carefully to these introductory verses. They're beautiful, beautifully written. Deuteronomy 33, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from the Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints from his right hand, went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. And then over in verse number 24, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And I'm going to preach a message on that last phrase this morning. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help us, please. As we bring the message that you've laid upon my heart, dear God, please empower me and give me clarity of thought. And Lord, may the things that are being that will be said be of comfort and help and encouragement to your people. Lord, use the word of God as you see fit. Thank you that it is powerful. Thank you that it is sharp. Thank you that it does pierce. Thank you that it accomplishes that, Lord, which you set it out to accomplish. Now, Lord, may we pay attention and hear and be blessed, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. If you'll pay attention, go back and glance over the first verse, the very first verse of Deuteronomy chapter 33. It introduces well its content. This chapter contains a blessing. The bestower of this blessing is a man by the name of Moses. This verse gives this brief bio of Moses. He was a man of God. If time permitted, we could spend a month of Sundays verifying this description. Moses was God's man. He was a child spared by God, a young man who chose God's people over Egypt, and then a middle-aged man who God chose from a burning bush. Moses was a miracle. Moses then was a murderer. Moses became the meekest man in the world, and then the master of Israel. Moses was the man of God. The recipient of this blessing is the 12 tribes of Israel. Each is named, and each receives a blessing. We won't read them all. Let me summarize them. Upon Reuben, Moses prayed a blessing of life and manliness. Judah is blessed with the Lord's ear, with sufficient hands, and with the Lord's special protection. Levi was blessed with holy responsibilities of teaching the law and sacrificing to the Lord. Benjamin was blessed with military strength and a divine covering. Joseph, blessed with all the bounty, all the fullness of the earth. He received this blessing through his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Zebulun, blessed with the spirit of praise and rejoicing in all of his endeavors. Issachar was blessed with prosperity gained from the treasures. Think about this. You talk about prophetic. Blessed with prosperity gained from the treasures hid in the sand. Think about that. Gad is blessed with judgment and responsibility, a crowned head and wise judgments. Dan, blessed with the heart of a lion. Naphtali, with favor and fullness. And then we come to verse number 24 and we find the tribe of Asher. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 24. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. His shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Well, I'll tell you what, that's a great blessing. Just, we could preach on any of this, all of this. He was blessed, first of all, with children. Let me remind everybody here, children are a blessing. They are a blessing. In a culture that I believe has now pictured children as an inconvenience, God still says that they're the heritage of the Lord. They're a blessing to have. So Asher is first blessed with children. Then he's blessed with being acceptable to his brethren. He's blessed with, and I love this little phrase here, I almost preached on this, let him dip his foot in oil, anointed steps, the oil of anointing, everywhere that he went, it was anointed of the Lord. He is blessed with authority in battle. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. The last blessing, though, is what makes the other blessings work. Now, please pay attention. Let's focus in on this little phrase here. And as thy day, so shall thy strength be. It is the wish of Moses upon Asher, the prayer of Moses upon Asher. It is every man of God's wish for his people. Think about that. As your pastor, it's my prayer for each of you. May all of you be blessed with day-by-day strength. May God match your days with the strength needed for that day. As your days, so shall your strength be. I want to talk to you about this. I know this isn't necessarily a military message or a Veterans Day message. The more I studied it and the more I was convinced God would have me preach it, and with the blessing of the young people this morning and their song and getting to see our veterans, I thought perhaps this group of people will understand more of the importance of the strength of God and the days that we need that strength than maybe any other group here to this morning. I want to take a look at this little blessing, this little phrase here that Asher received from Moses. First of all, I want to introduce you to the provider of the strength. Think about this again. He says, "So as thy days, so shall thy strength be." God, let me remind all of us, God is the provider of our strength. The strength we need comes from Him. You know, He's the one that provides. You say, "No, no, preacher, I don't have much to do with God, and I have strength." I wasn't going to read this, and then I remembered it as I was introducing the book here. I'll have to just take a second here as I find it, and forgive me for not being more prepared on this, but there's something that I wish every young man, first chapter, page 29, there's a chapter in here I wish every young man would understand and comprehend. One of the tenets of biblical masculinity is this: young men, listen, young men should remember that no matter how physically strong they are, a far superior supernatural strength can be accessed by learning to wait upon the Lord. I was reminded of these verses. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. And then Isaiah 40, verse number 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. Well, I'm going to trust in my strength. Well, you know what? You're going to find out there's an end to that. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Most young men are naturally strong. They're also impatient. The idea of waiting holds no attraction to the young. Youth wants to be active, to go, to do. It takes greater discipline for a young man to schedule time each day to wait upon the Lord. The phrase "wait upon the Lord" is found four times in the Bible. To wait means to twist together or to collect. Spending time with God each morning and choosing to walk with God each day twist together His immortal strength with your mortal limitations. It allows you to collect His wisdom, His guidance, His direction, so that your human labors and efforts accomplish much more than you could ever accomplish laboring in your own wisdom and strength. The young man wise enough and humble enough to acknowledge his need of God's power will run laps around the carnal or worldly youth who operates exclusively in the power of his flesh. He will understand that time spent in God's Word each day will benefit him in everything he must accomplish that day. Prayer time for the wise young man is power time. Waiting upon the Lord will provide that young man with supernatural wisdom, strength, and endurance. Please listen. All strength, all real strength comes from God. It will also protect him from unwise decisions that sap hours from his day and adds frustration to his mind. Immaturity runs ahead in its own strength with disdain towards those spiritual types who wait before the Lord. But immaturity is always outrun, outwitted, and outworked by the young man who chooses to operate in the power and wisdom of the Spirit of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying let's give God due credit. God is the provider. God is the one from whom we receive strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The provider of strength. From this blessing, I also was reminded of the promise of strength here. Now, this is where I want to try to help you. Please listen today. I believe there's different types of strength that's needed for different days. That's why I think the blessing is worded the way it is. And as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And so God knows what you're going to face each day, and he knows the type of strength and the amount of strength that you need for that day. Sometimes, folks, you need physical strength. I think of the people in this room that go out and labor each and every day. The honest truth is some days physically are just harder than other days. And some days we need physical strength. We just need God to strengthen us. I remember in Bible college, I was, of course, working a couple of part-time jobs and going to school and trying to do all of it as you do during that time in your life. And I remember times when I would finally get to my dorm room and I would get ready to climb in my bunk, and I had been up for maybe 18 or 20 hours. And the honest truth is I had a window of 4 hours of sleep, and then I was going to be up another 18 or 20 hours. And it's not just Bible college. There's been times when most of you have had to been pressed into that type of schedule. And I can remember that I would kneel down at times by that bunk and I would say, God, I have 4 hours of rest here. And Lord, I don't know how to ask this except to ask you to take the 4 hours of sleep that you're going to give my physical body. And Lord, could you multiply that? Could you stretch that? Could you give me good rest and good strength? Because when I get up, I won't be back here for another 20 hours. Help me. And I'd lay my head on my pillow and I'd sleep soundly for 4 hours and I'd wake up refreshed. You know what? God is the provider of our physical strength. Say, preacher, no, that strength is in me. Let me tell you something. If you really believe that, God is well capable of showing you how quickly that fleshly strength that you're relying on can be diminished and taken away. It can be taken away in a moment's time. The promise of strength. Sometimes there's days we just need physical strength. Sometimes there's days, most days, folks, whether we understand it or not, we need spiritual strength. We need to just learn to access what we read about, the Lord renewing our strength. There's times when I need mental strength. I don't know about you, but there's days when I've got so much going. In fact, I went back in the office a few minutes ago in between Sunday and school and church. I had several people come up and ask for things, and I'm glad, and please let us be a blessing. Anything you can do around here. But I had boom, 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 and then I ran back there, and I started to go this way, and I started to go this way, and I started to go this way. Have you ever been there? And my wife says, what do you need? And I said, I don't even know. And I caught myself trying to go 4 different ways. And then you get to that blessed stage where you get up to go do something, and you get in the room. And then you kind of stand there and look around and you think, why did I come in here? And then, you know, so you go back to where you started thinking maybe something will jog my memory. And sometimes that works. And other times you just sit down in your recliner and give up because you can't figure it out. Say, well, it must not have been that important because I can't remember. And there's honestly days. And folks, everybody faces this. It's not just a preacher. Everybody faces this. But there's days in the ministry where there are so many things pressing upon my mind at one time that I'll sit at my desk and maybe for several minutes, literally, my mind is in mental chaos. It's almost like there's more going on than I can focus on. And let me just give you something because, again, everyone faces that at times. What a blessing to just stop at that moment and bow my head and say, Lord, I'm not getting anything done right now. How many of you believe the Bible says, listen, confusion's not of the Lord. Lord's not the author of confusion. And so if I'm facing confusion, I know that God's not in control of my mind. And so I'll bow my head and I'll say, Lord, there's a lot of things, very important things that need to be done. There's a lot of people relying on me getting these things right. So God, I need mental strength. I need the ability right now to isolate and concentrate and focus. Well, I'm teaching you young people a real key right here. You know the difference a lot of times between an average student and a good student? Let me just share this with you. It's prayer. Learning to rely upon the Lord. Well, I just can't get my goals done. This is what I've challenged every young person that says that to me. Do you pull your card off at the morning? And do you look at that first goal? And do you pull that pace out? And do you put your hand upon it and bow your head and humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I need to isolate and concentrate. I need your help. Listen, God can give you strength that you can't come up with on your own. How many times have I gotten done praying that prayer and all of a sudden all of these things that were so jumbled in my mind begins to come into clear focus and I'm able to set all of them aside but one and clearly focus and complete that and then pull another one out with God's help, get the mental strength that I need. There's days that I need, and by the way, so do you, emotional strength. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that God made us to be emotional creatures. I mean that. I don't subscribe to this idea that the way you succeed in life is divorce yourself from the emotions. I don't think emotions ought to be the engine that runs the train, but I think they ought to be one of the cars that's on the track. And I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to become a Vulcan. Any Trekkies out there? Anybody? All right. I don't want to be emotionless. I don't want to go about my, say, well, I can't feel emotions or experience emotions and do this right. So I want, no, I don't want to be that. But I want God to give me the emotional strength that I need. Nobody knows who Vulcans are. Anybody in here? How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. All right. How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? We've got such an unlearned generation. We need to work on that and to praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Spock. You don't know who Spock is? Come on. Wake up, people. All right. That's one of the great fathers of the faith. Come on now. Get with it, man. And But I'll be honest with you. I need the strength not to become divorced from my emotions, but to funnel my emotions properly into what God's having me do. As a preacher, I can't just let emotions run. There's times when I need the emotion to do it right, but I can't let emotion overtake. And that's a great truth for all of you. You know what? You don't want to divorce yourself from emotions, but you don't want emotions to run your life. And so there's many, many times I have to stand up and perform something, and there's all kinds of feelings inside of me, but I can't let those feelings overflow to the point where they get in the way of what God's called me to do at that moment. And so sometimes I need emotional strength. Is that making sense to some of you? I hope it's a help. Sometimes I need a strength of the will. You know, I need the strength to persevere. I need the strength to follow through with the decision I've made. I need a strength to do the right thing, even sometimes when I don't feel like doing the right thing. I mean, preacher, sometimes you don't feel like doing the right thing. A lot of times I don't feel like doing the right thing. I want you to bow my head. God, help me to have the strength of will to persevere and do right, even when I don't feel like doing right, to do the right thing when I'd rather do the wrong thing. So where does the strength come from, preacher? It comes from the Lord. He's the provider of it. The promise of strength, spiritual strength. He'll give us that physical, mental, emotional, the strength of the will, the strength to persevere. All of us need that, needs these things, and they're available from the Lord. But what really caught my attention, and this is the main thrust of the message this morning, is this first little part of that last phrase. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Say, the provider of strength is God. The promise of strength is multi-faceted, preacher, yes. The provision of strength, how does it come? Listen to me. How does it come, preacher? How does strength come from God? How does he regulate? How does he give it? Watch this. Day by day. Day by day. Preacher, I don't have the strength to face tomorrow. Well, of course you don't, because it's not tomorrow. Preacher, I don't have the strength to face what I've got to face next week. Well, of course you don't. You know why? Because you don't get it a week in advance. You get it day by day. He says, listen, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know what? I need different types of strengths and different amounts of strength depending on what I'm facing on every day. And you know what? The same God that made me is the same God that knows what I'm going to face that day. And it's the same God that can provide me for whatever strength I need to face that day. So God gives it to us day by day. God will provide strength as thy days. Now, we're all given, if we're given an average lifespan, Psalms 90 verse number 10 says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The lady that stood up here and read the reading a little while ago, Mrs. Fulkerson, has been given quite a few more than that. She told me as we were visiting with her this week that if everybody that got Social Security, it worked out to get it as long as she's got it, the place would have been bankrupt a long time ago, you know. So she's kind of cheated the system a little bit there. But the Bible says that our days of our years are 70. If by strength they be 80 years. If you have 70 years, if you're blessed to have 70 years, that's 25,550 days that you're allotted. And God knows what's waiting for you every single one of those days. And God knows what strength you're going to need. And God knows the amount of strength and the type of strength that you're going to need. And He's going to give it to you one day at a time. In the course of your life, young people, you're going to face a lot of different kinds of days. There'll be days of toil, as I've mentioned already. Thank God for the strength to labor. Thank God that there's supernatural strength, even supernatural physical strength available to those that will wait upon the Lord. There's going to be days of toil. And you know what? You need physical strength for that. Preacher, I'm tired. I'll be honest with you. I'm just tired. I don't know how I'm going to get through work tomorrow. I don't have the strength to get through work tomorrow. Guess what? It's not tomorrow. God's going to give you the strength day by day. There's going to be days of temptation that you're going to face. Ephesians chapter 6. I love this portion of Scripture. Can I just read it to you? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Think about that. And having done all, to stand. I'm going to tell you, there's days where Satan hits you harder than other days. There are evil days. Look right up here. I can help you. I can help you. You better prep for this. You better understand how much you need God. You know what? You may have been doing fine for 6 months, and Satan's been for 6 months lulling you asleep so that he can attack and destroy you in one single day. He has an evil day. He has a snare. He has a trap set up for you. That's the day of temptation. You know what? You need to every single day get up. Bow your heart before the Lord. God, give me strength for today. Give me the amount of strength that I need today. Give me the type of strength that I need today. Give me the spiritual help that I need today, because I don't know what I'm going to face today, but the Lord knows what I'm going to face today. I have watched men. I have watched Christian ladies. I have watched teenagers for years have an impeccable record and a good testimony and sincere, but you know what? They did not realize that there was going to be a day when they had to face the temptations of all temptations, and in one day, years of a good reputation can be thrown away. Are you listening to me? So I don't know when that day's going to come. What are you preaching? Preacher, what are you giving us this morning? Listen, you need to understand, we need strength. We need God's strength. And I don't know what kind of strength I'm going to need today. Most days I don't know. I might think I have an idea, but I don't know. And so every day I want to come before God and I want to say, God, you know what waits for me this day. You know what kind of day it is. You know what I'm going to face. You know what the devil's got planned. You know the temptations that I might face. Lord, I need your spiritual strength in my life. And so there's going to be young people in your life, days of temptation. Let me say this. There's going to be days of taxation. I want to encourage people that are doing right and serving the Lord right now. Bless your hearts. But you know what? It's not always easy to keep on keeping on. Sometimes it seems like life's not very fair. I want to say a word to some discouraged people. I got an email from one of our men, a good man, by the way, good man. But I could tell he was discouraged. Preacher, I prayed and I fasted and I tried to do everything that you encouraged us to do, and I worked. And he was so distraught over some of the results of the election and all of that. And you know what? As hard as we work and as much as we pray, sometimes it just doesn't seem fair. It seems like the devil's winning more than we are. It seems like that wrong triumphs too many times over right. And if we're not careful, we get a short view of that. It just seems like, wait a minute, it's not fair. Let me remind you of this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Isn't it interesting what verse follows those? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Now, isn't it interesting that verse 9, this encouragement not to be weary in well-doing, it follows this perception that we sometimes have that, you know what, how come wickedness sows and they never reap? And how come righteousness sows and it seems like we're not getting anything in return? And you know what God says? Be not deceived. I am not mocked. Don't be weary in well-doing. And I don't know what you're doing for the Lord. And I don't know what discouragement you're facing right now. But I'm telling you, God is still worth serving today. Preacher, what are you going to do when it just seems like the world's winning and the devil's winning? Well, I don't know about you, but I read the end of this book, and I'm going to tell you, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. Read the last couple chapters back here in Revelation. There's going to be a day, the devil that deceived them, cast to the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We win! May not seem like it today, but you know what? Evil that is sowing is going to reap corruption, and righteousness that is sowing is going to reap eternal life. Listen to me, young people. Listen, I want to give this to you. Don't get discouraged. Sometimes some of our young people, kids that are doing wrong, it seems like they're prospering. The kids that are doing right, it seems like that they're having a tough time. Hold on a minute! You're seeing very short term. You're seeing something very short term here. God sees it all the way to the end. Just keep doing right. Preacher, what are you going to do now that we are where we are in this country? What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to do what I was going to do anyway. I'm not throwing in the towel. Matter of fact, I'm more determined than ever to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to read my Bible. I'm still going to try to win souls to Jesus Christ. I'm going to still preach the Word of God. I'm going to still try to look for people to be a blessing to, as we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know what? I'm still going to do right no matter what is happening, what kind of days we're facing. Listen, folks, we have the opportunity to minister in the last of the last days. I believe this is the rapture generation. What a privilege it is that God would allow us to be a part of the great harvest, that last harvest. Every once in a while I say this, I want to remind Blessed Hope Baptist Church about it. But when we see a young person or somebody in this church come to Jesus Christ, I don't believe we just saw them saved from an eternity in hell. I think we saw them saved from having to go through the tribulation period. That's how close I think we are. I'm not a date setter. I'm not telling anybody get out a calendar and red letter a day. I'm just saying, Jesus said, are you blind? Can't you see the signs of the times? Folks, the handwriting's on the wall. You know what that means? It isn't time to get down. It isn't time to get discouraged. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give in. It's not time to fall away. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get busy serving the Lord. This is a good time to serve God. So, Lord, give me that strength of encouragement, because there are days of taxation. There's days where I'm not weary of the work. Watch this, but I get a little weary in the work. Why? Because I'm just made out of human flesh, and there's just a frailty that comes with that. And thank God that even the Lord saw fit to write in the book of Psalms that he remembers that we're but dust. And you know what? There's times where the best of the best of the best of Christians just get a little bit discouraged because there's days of taxation and we need God's strength. There's days of tragedy. Days of tragedy. I don't know what we're going to face the rest of 2012, and I sure don't know what we're going to face in 2013. A lot of people are saying a lot of things, and I don't know how much of it's true and how much of it's not. Brother Jerry, how are we going to face these things? We're going to face them day by day. Preacher, I don't know if I have the strength to go through some of the stuff that's being bantered about. Well, you don't need that strength yet. If you need it, it'll be there. Isn't it interesting that Jesus spent time preparing his disciples for days of tragedy? He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, I don't know what you're going to have to face, but I can tell you this. There's a heaven, and there's mansions, and there's eternity, and there's the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sometimes wonder, and I can't understand everything that's going on in the lives of every person in our church, but I can tell you this, I pray for you. I mean that. I have my faults. I'll be the first one to admit to it. And if you want a list of them, I'll give you a partial list. I have my faults. But I pray for my people. And I pray for strength. That God would give you strength. I don't know what some of you are facing right now. One of the reasons I think we ought to be extra careful to be kind to people, each other in this church, is because the person that you treat unkindly, whether you know it or not, may be going through the darkest day of their life. The last thing they need is somebody to pile on something on top of them. There's a lot of heartache in this. Look up here. I'm telling you, church, I know a little bit about my congregation. I know the state of my flock. There's a lot of heartache right here in this room. There's a lot of people facing a lot of stuff. There's going to be some days of tragedy in our future, not this year, next year. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be the phone call. There's going to be the funeral visitation. There's going to be the sorrow goodbyes at a cemetery somewhere. There's tragic days ahead. There's going to be things happen that nobody can explain and nobody can understand. There's going to be, listen, look at this. There's going to be things happen where we look up and say, why, to God? And guess what? We don't get an answer. You know what? God doesn't always tell us why, but God always gives us the strength that we need for that day. For that day. There's going to be days of turmoil ahead. I believe this. I don't focus on it, but I try to prepare our church for it. I think the America that we're used to may not be here very, very much longer. I'm not a doomsday prophet, but I want to prepare our people. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, days of turmoil. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, we're there. Covetous there. Boasters were there. Proud blasphemers, yep. Disobedient to parents, yep. Unthankful, unholy. Sounds like we're describing the United States of America. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the honest truth is, it's not even close, folks. The vast majority of Americans are doing what brings them pleasure right now instead of putting God number one in their life. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's going to be days of turmoil. How are we going to face it, preacher? I don't think I've got the strength for it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. You know how you're going to get through it? God's going to give you the strength to get through it. Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to face tomorrow. God's going to give you the strength, but he's not going to give it to you today. He's going to give it to you tomorrow. Preacher, I've got a date on the calendar a few months ahead, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what you're going to do. When you get to that day, there's going to be strength for you to face whatever you have to face on that day. Because God doesn't come along with a pickup truck load and give us all the strength we need for a lifetime. What he does is he comes down every morning and he says, do you need strength? Yes, Lord, I do. Would you ask me for it? Oh, God, I know that I need it. What kind of strength do you need? I don't even know, Lord. He says, that's okay, I do. And here's what you need, and this will get you through today. But Lord, what about tomorrow? Let's not worry about tomorrow right now. This is what you need for today, and I'll walk through you. Well, I'm with you always, even unto the end. I'll walk with you today, and I'll help you get through the next 5 minutes and the next 50 minutes and the next 5 hours, and we'll get through today. And then tomorrow you come see me, and we'll pick up where we left off. What a wonderful way to live your life, day by day. Strength for the day. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for your people that are here this morning, Lord. I pray for those that are going through difficulties and challenges and heartache and tears. And I pray for those, Lord, that at times wonder how they're going to get through this thing called life. And Lord, many are discouraged, it seems, and disheartened. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them the strength that they need for today. Teach us the walk of faith. Teach us to live by faith. Teach us to trust you for today. And Lord, dear God, the thing that we spend the most time worrying about that's down the road may not even be something to worry about at all. Maybe you've already taken care of it. Or maybe the trumpet will sound and interrupt the whole process. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Lord, maybe that great homecoming celebration will take place in the clouds before the week's ended, and we'll look back and say, why did I worry so much about the future? I didn't even have to face it. God came. Lord, I don't know what we need, and sometimes it's hard to know even how to pray, but Lord, please, we acknowledge our need for your strength. We ask that you'd give it to us, Lord, as we need it day by day. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there may be someone here this morning that's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me say this. God never intended for you to live this life and face the heartaches of this life by yourself. But that's how you have to face them if you've never received Christ. And yet, to be a child of God, what a blessed thing it is. If you're here and you realize this morning that you're a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior, God wants to come and save you. And then from that day on, he'll take care of you, watch over you, and give you the strength to face what you need. And so this invitation is not only given for Christians who may need some extra strength, but it's given to those that might need to become Christians. Lord, please bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.